Welcome, everybody. It is Sunday, January 6, 2019. And the message, this is a communion message, and the message is preparing for the hallelujah life. This message is live, all in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit today. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. And we thank you that it is the Holy Spirit who applies what Jesus Christ has accomplished. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, for your word enlightening our understanding. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, would come in our midst to open the eyes of our minds to comprehend and open the eyes of our hearts to receive, that you might reveal Jesus Christ to us. And Lord, what we need to be doing, especially at this time of history, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to be starting a new series soon, hopefully next Sunday. Can't remember now. I might have one more preparation before it begins. Anyway, but the series I'm entitling The Hallelujah Life. So to begin this new year, I thought it appropriate that we lay a foundation for the joy that we can have deep down where we live, regardless of what is going on in our lives. This is not Pollyanna land. This is a joy that comes because, the way I put it is, Jesus owns you. That is joy. Jesus owns you. You can have joy because you belong to Jesus. You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. And Jesus owning you. I will say as an aside, see, a lot of people are afraid, and Christians sometimes get afraid. Oh, am I possessed by the devil? No, not if you're a true believer, born out of God, born again, and you're elect. Because it has to do with ownership, possession. Has to do with ownership, and the devil doesn't own a true believer. But a true believer can be oppressed. A true believer can be oppressed by the devil. But if you close the door to sin, you starve out anything. Sin opens the door, and then, you know, it just builds, and you go down the berry patch to oppression. Or you go down, follow the road of the berry patch till you get into oppression. But not possession. Not possession. If Jesus owns you. It is our entering into the joy of our Lord, counting it all joy, gaining God's perspective, receiving a gift that has the ability to carry us through various trials and burdens. And I want to make this point because, I don't know, in talking with Croy the other day, I realized I really need to emphasize this. You probably know I live in the real world and I need a real God. And I don't believe in Pollyanna land where you just, oh, you know, all this stuff. Oh, praise the Lord, as if you're in denial.
Military free.
That you're in denial. No, we have problems. God is a problem solver. There are ways to solve problems from the Word of God. And you have to, we live in a real world. We need a real God. And we need the living God. You see? So that's not going to be my focus. We're going to talk about the hallelujah life, but it's not going to be because we're going to go use that almost like people use a drug to escape.
I can give you an example that really upset me that I saw. That exactly exemplifies that false way to me did. A friend of mine described how her car was crashing and the whole windshield was breaking down out on top of her as the car was flipping over. And she has this life way of doing everything and praise the Lord, hallelujah, all the time. And everything without dealing with it, in my opinion. So as the glass was falling all over her, as the car was flipping over, she said, "Oh, look, Lord Diamond, hallelujah, praise the Lord." And her car's flipping over. There was no concept of dealing with it before God as to what's really happening. She says, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah, Diamond," instead of glass falling on top of her. So it was very dangerous. It was a real thing happening, but she always deals with things that way instead of dealing with it in the real world. In my opinion, it was better to call on Jesus or one of his names or something, I guess. Well, she got hurt.
Okay. So let's go on. Joy is an emotion. That's a good example. Joy is an emotion. It rises within the core of our being. When we receive something we value greatly, and when we give something we value greatly. Joy can come to us regardless of our circumstances, even in spite of our circumstances, when our hope, our expectation is in God. God is love, and it is love's joy to give. God gave to the cosmos, to his creation, his most treasured, most valued, unique son, because it gave him great pleasure, the utmost delight, to do that. For God so loved the world and its cosmos there, that he gave his only begotten son, or only unique son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course the question is there, who then would actually believe? But that's another topic. All right. Jesus Christ, God's incarnate Son, came from heaven willingly. He was sent by the Father. With his heart full of joy, he lived daily obeying the will of his Father, even dying the death that sin, our sin, required. Now, we're going to reference Philippians 2, but I want us to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, the Holy Spirit who conceived Jesus had so much pleasure, so much delight in Jesus that the bond of love could not be broken, even with Jesus' death. That love, that joy, brought dominion over death and generated the power, the energy that raised Jesus from the dead. And reference to that, Romans 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus is alive, living in an unbreakable bond of love, emoting fullness of joy. And for that you could read Psalm 16. We are called to enter into the joy of our Lord. Enter into the joy of our Lord. That's from Matthew 25, verse 21. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord. Let's read, what do we want? Some references Psalm 33, verse 1, Psalm 68, verse 3, Philippians 12, verse 15. Let's read Philippians 4, verse 4. And another reference is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16.
Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Okay, we have been commissioned to take the message of reconciliation with the Creator God, to take the message of peace and righteousness through the blood of Jesus to the world, to whom the Father sent the Son. Let's read 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 21.
When I was looking it up, I have Psalm 68, 3. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceeding.
Okay, good.
2 Corinthians 5,
18 to 21.
Okay. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Okay. With the glory of the Lord shining all around them, so that they feared in the face of this awesome spectacle, some shepherds encountered an angel of the Lord, saying to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's from Luke 2. And many things end up that, what is this great gift? A Savior, who is also Lord. Because he's Lord, whether people recognize him as Lord or not. He's still Lord. You know, he's not Lord over you when you say, "Oh, he's my Lord." No, he is Lord, whether you recognize his lordship or not. But Savior, he's the Savior of those for whom he died. Okay, good tidings, great joy. A Savior has come, Christ the Lord. At this good news, our hearts are to be filled with great joy. This joy is promised to us. It is the emotion of the celebration of life, the emotion of intense satisfaction, delight, gladness, pleasure, merriment, cheerfulness. Our redemption comes indeed today. It has come, and we are to rejoice. God's delight in Jesus and those abiding in Jesus spills over into our spirits, penetrating our souls, permeating our bodies, until the love of the Spirit shed abroad in our hearts brings us to the reality of Zephaniah 3:14-17. So let's hear Zephaniah. I'm going to have Croy read this. Zephaniah 3:14-17. We'll just send this message right out into the airwaves. Well, if you have trouble flipping through the Bible, you know, you're not alone. It happens all the time to people. And especially if you use a different Bible. If you know, you're used to one Bible.
Zechariah
most
comes up easy,
most Christians have many.
Zechariah.
Zephaniah 3,
oh,
14.
Zephaniah
3:14-17.
Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord Jehovah has taken away your judgment. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord Jehovah, is in your midst. He shall see disaster no more. See what?
17.
In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let your hands be weak. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord, Jehovah your God, in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
Okay, this is one of my favorite names for God, Jehovah Gabor, and it means mighty hero who saves. Now, I grew up in the time of the Lone Ranger. That dates me plenty. And at the end, he comes riding in, you know, on the white horse or whatever. Okay. Mighty hero who saves. The other one is, if, you know, maybe goes even farther back, was Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse.
Save the day.
Okay.
Yes.
But with God, it's Jehovah Gabor, and it means mighty hero who saves. And it was one of the best days in seminary for me, because the professor went through that, you know, because I think he had written a commentary on Zephaniah, and he was just, it was fantastic. I'm not kidding. I thought, oh, this is great. I love that. Now that I really know, you know, call on the Lord, mighty hero who saves, Jehovah Gabor. And then he rejoices over you with gladness. So we're to rejoice in him. It's supposed to be mutual. You know, God would like it to be mutual. He will be quiet in his love. The picture there is like two people have been married a long time. Jim and I were married 48 years. And a lot of times we could just sit next to each other. You know what I mean? Because half the time we were finishing each other's sentences. We knew what the other one was going to say. I mean, it really gets a little weird. Well, you guys probably know.
Yeah.
And so there's not so much need to just, you know, like tell somebody else what I'm like or anything, because they already know. You know, there's nothing to prove, nothing to whatever. They just, okay. And God rejoices over us with singing. Well, if we're going to learn to, we're going to return that. So it's mutual. Now, I know the other side personally. Despair, depression, demonic oppression. I have been there. I've been at the point of suicide 3 times in my life. So I know the downward spiral. And I'm very cautious. I try to be very cautious, because when something is so familiar, the road's so familiar, you can drop like this, really fast, because you know I don't know what is with it. But I can sense it in music when the person, the way they're writing the music and everything, that they have some measure of depression, or you know, whatever. It's, and you know, in the music, even Christian music, what they're going through, whatever. Okay, I put the T-shirts in the drawer. I have soap opera days in my history, many of them. But God has given me a revelation of the anointing of dominion, and it is joy. Joy is the dominion anointing. We were created to glorify God by enjoying him forever, and we can enjoy God by looking in the right direction, in the proper place, to God's appointed end. And that's what we're going to talk about. Number one, look forward. The prophets of God look forward to the time of Jesus appearing. They rejoiced as their redemption drew nigh. We get that sometimes in words we receive. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. You know, it's almost like saying, mighty hero who saves is on the way. saved, the word saved is used in different ways in the scripture, you might know that. So it's not just about eternal salvation. When it's used, it can also be literally, he saved us out of our troubles. And that, you know, some good psalms to look into, like Psalm 107. And God comes in and saves it. I think he likes to do it. Especially when all other avenues have been exhausted, and maybe finally then you learn to turn your eyes on Jesus and turn to the Lord. But by the time something happens, he will get the glory. And he wants all the glory. Oh. They rejoiced in knowing that the goodness of God, the prophets, rejoiced in knowing that the goodness of God would overcome evil. Look forward to Jesus appearing and wait for him. Now, we just talked some about that Friday night. Looking forward to Jesus appearing and waiting for him. Number two, look to Jesus. People were filled with, quote, good cheer as they perceived God forgave sins. Matthew 9, verse 2. That God had solved the problem of the sin which separates us from him, the source and sustainer of life, should fill us with joy. Mary, the mother of Jesus, rejoiced in the revelation of the Savior to be born of her. This joy in the Lord for our salvation motivates love, loyalty, and obedience to the Father. From Isaiah 61 and John chapter 15. And I will say this again. Many times people go out, oh, I love the Lord, as if it's an emotion. It's not an emotion with God, agape. God demonstrates his love by, in an action, He sent Jesus to propitiate his wrath, for example. It's an action. And if with our English language, we come closer to the concept of love, that the kind of love, if we think of loyalty or fide in Latin, like fidelity. God wants loyalty, faithfulness. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you think you're loyal to me, Jesus, then go out and keep my commandments. Do the commandments written in the Word of God. There's a lot of them. Start there. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't have a commandment. Oh, they're already written in the New Testament, the commandments of Jesus. There's many of them. Years ago, I was teaching on the spiritual gifts to this whole group somewhere in the state of Florida. And those women, I just happened to mention, you know, one of the commandments, you know, is like practice hospitality or something. And so these women all prayed. They were praying for me because I said, well, you know, I don't really cook and I'm, you know, whatever. And I knew how to do it because I was raised that way with Amy Vanderbilt's etiquette and all that, and, you know, put on famous parties and whatever. Okay, so, but I don't know, it really wasn't my thing, it was more my mother's. And so they were praying for me to practice hospitality, that God would and have me in a situation where I would practice hospitality. And then all of a sudden, we're feeding 30 teenagers every week for a year and a half in our house. And I did all the cooking. Now, I'm telling you, and then I said, okay, have I learned practice hospitality yet? I hope so. But even in this ministry, see, we have it down with our dinners, right? We are really good at it. Now, everybody's trained what to do. A la my mother's training of me. you know, I think we do it well. Okay. That's what it means, though. Jesus is with us, a reason to rejoice. Jesus has overcome the world, a reason to be filled with peace, a sense of well-being, with the shalom of God and with joy. Let's read John 16, verse 33.
These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
You will have tribulation. So, count it all joy when you go through various trials, because God isn't finished with you yet, and you're being sanctified. Sanctification is a big thing. Number three, look with hope. Hope in God, for you will yet praise him who is the health of your countenance. That's from Psalm 43. I say that a lot. I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God with a hope that does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to all believers. That is from Romans chapter 5. It is the God of hope who fills us with all joy and peace in believing, in order that we may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 15. Number four, look for future grace. Future grace. John Piper wrote a whole book on future grace. Future grace. And the essence is this: the God of all grace, who graciously forgave our sin, redeemed us, reconciled us to himself through Christ, and accepted Jesus as satisfaction for divine justice, is an ever-flowing spring of grace. His grace extends from the goodness of his heart, and we are to rejoice. We are to look for future grace. We were saved by grace. We will be sanctified by grace. We will be glorified by grace. And God will give us grace sufficient to the day. Even if we're going day by day. Look for future grace. Let's read 1 Peter 5, verses 10 and 11, even though we just taught on it.
But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Number 5, look for answered prayer. God remains true to his character, and when we ask in accord, this is one of the secrets, in accord with his heart, mind, and will, he delights to respond. Now, you got to think that through and smile, because when we're in accord with his heart, mind, and will, he's the one behind the whole thing. It's coming from his holy heart. It's coming out of his mind, thought, and the thought is in his mind, the intent is in his heart, and so the thought is going to become an action, and the whole thing will become a work of righteousness wrought in God. We won't get any credit for it. See what I mean? It'll become what's called a good work. God will consider it good, because it was his idea in the first place. It came from the source of holiness. Not our greed, not what we want, it's not coming from the God of money or mammon, it's coming from God's holy heart, the creator and sustainer of the universe. Okay? And you have to, if we start getting the idea that, boy, God has a big ego, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Because I love to say this, and this is an opportunity. Because one of my professors, Dr. Raymond, that Stephen's now been reading, had a booming voice. He had one of those, the golden voice, you know. And he went, I can't do it because I don't have the booming voice. Wait, it was deep, you know, deep. And God looked all around at everything he had created, and he couldn't find anything or anyone more glorious than himself. And that's the way it is, and live with it. You will live understanding it. I loved it.
The alternative is evil, because our wills are, without the Holy Spirit, our wills are evil.
Well, ours are bent, yes.
Yeah, so
and we have a bent.
That's it.
Okay, so he delights to respond. Jesus tells us to ask that our joy may be full in John 16. When we ask you can ask what you will when your will lines up in perfect accord with God's will. And where do you find that will? In the Word of God. It's all written down. It's not some mystery thing. It's all in there. Number 6, look up. Rejoice, for our God reigns. Our God reigns. The Lord reigns. R-E-I-G-N-S. The Lord reigns. The covenant Lord reigns. He sits in the heavens and laughs at the foolish plots of the wicked. That's Psalm 2. The nations can be glad. The trees can clap their hands. The mountains can rejoice because the Creator is good, kind, loving, benevolent, protecting and preserving life, promoting justice. Jesus sits enthroned, exalted, worthy of all honor and power, dominion and praise, and we are to rejoice. That's from, it's all through the scripture, but Psalm 96, Psalm 48, Psalm 97, Revelation chapter 5 are references for that. The first, when we were first sent out to the nations, it was to declare Psalm 2 and Psalm 96 to the nations. And we began very humbly back in 1993 on July 3rd and the first nation that was called in was the United States at a patriotic concert. And it was a very simple, nothing like our, what we're doing, what we're called to do today. No. It was just to go up there to the podium and declare out Psalm 2, Psalm 96, and call the United States of America to repent or perish. And that was the very beginning of it. And then the next year we started going out, first to Venezuela, then to India, and now 86 nations later. Who would think? So, very small beginning, but I just did it, and people would say, you know, I've had pastors say, well, we call people to repent every week with the gospel. This was a call coming out of the office God put me in, repent or perish. And that was it, and then it has expanded over the years. And now you can see months and months and months of research and all the stuff, very intricate. This is what the mission trip we're working out now, three locations in the world, three areas of the world, is probably the most extensive call that we've had. It's taking a long time, a lot of planning and a lot of action on our part in between. All right. Number 7, look to the Lord's doing. He is our strength and song and has become our salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Who's the right hand of the Lord?
Jesus.
Okay. God is the Lord which has showed us light. He is to be exalted and given thanks for his goodness, in that his mercy endures forever. That's from Psalm 118. Number 8, look to the end. See where things are going. As the end of all things draws nigh, rejoice in the victory of the triumph of Jesus Christ over devils, over disease, and over death. Rejoice in the great harvest of souls coming to Christ. The harvest is about souls. When people are talking about the great harvest, and we're going to have this harvest, it's about souls. Enjoy God and the works of his hands. Enjoy the pleasures and join with the desires of his heart. Enter into the delights of his spirit, the beauty of holiness, the glories of Christ. Okay, let's read 1 Peter 1, verse 8.
Whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory.
Okay. And the end is also, it can also mean not the end of the world, maybe the end of us, you know, because we're going to have an end, but the purpose, like, look to the end. Look, what's the purpose? Let's see, where is it? Is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? Maybe it's 1 Timothy 1:7. Read that. The end of the commandment is love. Second Timothy 1:7.
It's 1:5. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
All right, the purpose, it's telos in Greek, and it means. And it's many times it's translated the end of the commandment, but it means purpose. It means purpose. So read again. Okay, so it's 2 Timothy 1:5.
1 Timothy.
Or 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:5.
Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith.
Okay, and then is it goes down to 7. What is 7?
Desiring you want me to read?
Oh, yeah, read through 7.
From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm.
Okay. And also we can find things related in James chapter 1, Isaiah 35, and the book of Revelation. So, rejoice. The Lord is King. There is coming a day when Jesus shows up, shines forth, shoots down his enemies, and strengthens our faith. And that word in Greek is epiphaneia, interestingly enough, because many are celebrating Epiphany today, appearing. Epiphaneia in Greek. There is a day, and that day is coming. Every time we celebrate in the taking and receiving of communion, we remember the Lord's death until he comes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay. Now what we're going to do next, well, we can all say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay. But we're going to do that. I think I have enough. I'll put you to work. You want to? I have a copy. Okay, what's being passed around is some reasons to rejoice from the scripture. So we will start over here with the first one, and some of these we referred to, but so you might want to just read like Psalm 43 verse 4 and Psalm 97 verse 12, since we already looked at Zephaniah 3:17. So
number one, remember the Lord your God. Psalm 5:11-32, 11:43-4, 97:12.
In Zephaniah 3:17.
Okay, in Zephaniah 3:17.
Okay, now look up. Oh, do you have a Bible with you?
No.
No. Okay, so you want to look? Somebody look up.
Look up.
Psalm 43 verse 4. And you look up Psalm 97 verse 12. So Brian, you have it.
Did you say Psalm 43?
Psalm 43 verse 4.
Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy, yea, upon the harp, will I praise thee, O God my God.
Okay, so number one was remember the Lord your God, and let's hear Psalm 97, verse 12. Okay.
You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name.
Okay. Number two, you take that one.
God reigns. 1 Chronicles 16:32. Let the sea rejoice. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Psalm 99:1. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. All of Psalm 97, but 97:1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. And following.
Okay. Number three.
God is righteousness judge.
God is a righteous judge. Okay.
God is a righteous judge. And I have 67. Did it have to be in order?
No.
Okay, because I have 67:4 up.
Okay.
So, which is, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously to govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. And then the first word was Psalm 67:4. Okay, the other one was 97. Next one is Psalm 97:8. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of the judgments, O Lord. And the last one is Luke 10:21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight.
Okay. Number four.
Number four, God's word is truth, and references Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And Psalm 119:162. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure.
Okay, number five.
I
you can just do two of those. Go ahead.
God gives good gifts. Deuteronomy 26:11. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Kings 1 Kings 8:66. On the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went unto their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. I'm sorry, I didn't get.
That's okay. All right. So, other references, just you can just name them out, starting with Joel.
Just read it out.
Just give the references.
Oh, Joel. Verse 23, Jeremiah 33, verse 11, and Acts 14, verse 17.
Okay, good. Number six.
God is merciful. Psalm 31. I can read the part where he calls God for mercy.
Okay.
Verse 9. Have mercy on me, O Lord Jehovah, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. And 90:14. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
All right, number seven.
Okay, and you won't believe this one. This is great, because when we say, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Read what number seven is first,
yes.
The title.
God's creation is good. And you won't believe the scripture that it came. Because when we say this is the day the Lord has made or appointed, we rejoice and be glad in it. And I said Jesus' resurrection day, because that was from the ethics book from Raymond. Well, this is the verse that I got. So God's creation is good. Psalm 118, verse 24. But I will start at 118, verse 21. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Okay.
Because that's the group scripture that they use kind of on that thing. Okay. And then Isaiah 65:18. I'll start a little early. This is entitled The Glorious New Creation. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. And here it is. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And we rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying.
Okay, number 8.
God answers prayer. John 16:24. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
Okay, number 9.
God delights to prosper. Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him.
Okay, now continuing with some reasons to rejoice, number 10.
The Psalm 35 died. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and will rejoice in his salvation. You want me to do all of them?
No, just choose one other one.
Oh, just choose another one. So you find Psalm 40:16. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love may thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified.
Okay, so number 10 was God saves, and other references are Psalm 70:4, Isaiah 12:3, Isaiah 25:9, Isaiah 61:10, and Luke 10:20, and that's just a sample, small sample. Okay, number 11.
God sent his son Jesus, Matthew 2:10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And Luke 1:14. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And Luke 2:10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people.
All right, number 12.
A person can serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Okay, number 13.
A person in Christ can willingly submit and obey joyfully. Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Number 14.
A person can give. This is the reason to rejoice. A person can give. 1 Chronicles 29:9. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly, because with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. 2 Corinthians 8:2. That in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing.
Okay, number 15.
Number 15. A person can suffer persecution as a believer in the name of Christ. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. 2 Corinthians 7:4. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds.
All right. And number 16.
A person can expect the return of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Didn't do that right. Oh, yeah, I did. Sorry. I thought maybe I read it wrong.
Okay. And Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. So everybody smile.
Yes. Yeah, God, a merry heart.
Yes. Okay. This message will be on the main website, marycraig.org, as a message for January, and it will also be on mcmtffr.org, the recorded audio, and also this sheet on some reasons to rejoice. So, and with that, we will all say,
Amen.